I don't think they play these anymore, but do you remember the MasterCard commercials where, you know, they would list several things that somebody spends money on? Might be $55, suitcase, $55, plane ticket, $220, pumpkin pie, $8. And then they say the thing that money can't buy, making it home for Thanksgiving, priceless, right? And they, I mean, they played this. This is one of the longest running marketing campaigns because they played the, you just, you know, plug in the different things and spit out the priceless thing. And they just kept going with this theme. And I think it worked so well because we can relate to that, can't we? I mean, we know that money can't buy everything, that there are things that are more precious than what money can buy. Whether it's a special memory that we have in our own lives or an experience maybe that stands out to you, we recognize that there are moments and there are things in life that are worth way more than what we actually paid for them, right? They're priceless, maybe even. And I have a few of those. One of them is my cousin's wedding 4 years ago. For some reason, my cousin, who has a family full of ministers, I think there might be six of us, at least, on that side of the family. And he, in deciding when to get married, they pick Easter weekend. And so several of us, you know, tried to very tactfully point out there are a lot of ministers in the family. That's a hard weekend for us to get away because it's an out-of-town wedding. But we were overruled, quite bluntly. And so Nathan and I almost decided not to go. It wasn't because we were sulking or mad, but it was 4 years ago, and it was our first Easter as a church. And on top of that, the reality of driving up to South Carolina on a Friday and then with a one-year-old and then staying for Friday night and then coming back late Saturday night to get up at 5 in the morning on Sunday morning to prepare for our first Easter service as a church, that seems like a really high cost just to attend a wedding, you know? But we did it, and I brought pictures. because we've made it. And now when I think back to that weekend, the things I remember when I look at the pictures, what a gift. Yeah, that's Oliver. I remember what a gift it was to be a part of that weekend and that wedding. I remember the joy in my aunt's voice when I told her we're going to make it. I remember sitting and talking with my cousins at breakfast. I remember rushing around last minute, helping my aunts get ready, last minute preparations. And I remember dancing and laughing with my crazy family at the reception. You know what I don't really think about at all when I look at those pictures? I don't think about what being part of that day cost us. Never occurs to me. I don't think about the money that we spent on gas or a hotel. I don't think about the mad rush that it was to pack up and leave and then return the next evening. I don't think about the lost sleep from coming back late and getting up really early. I don't think about any of the things that almost kept us from going. So what about you? Do you have a memory like that? Do you have experiences in your life that mean so much more to you than what they cost you? Maybe it's becoming a parent, because there is a cost, right? Maybe it's getting to come through for a loved one. Maybe it's an accomplishment. You graduated from high school or college. Whatever it is, there are things in this life that we hold on to. And we don't think about the cost. Because it was more than worth it. Right? There are things that we wouldn't trade even if we could recoup our losses. I don't want it back. I'm happy to give it. In those cases, it's not about what you're giving up. It's not about the cost. It's about what you're getting to be a part of instead, isn't it? So Jesus told a few stories like this. So at this point in our series, Stories of the Kingdom, we're starting to recognize that Jesus told these stories to help us see the world the way that God sees the world. To understand the kingdom of God, God's mission to heal the world, and to restore life to what God meant it to be. So let's listen one more time to the stories Jesus told. God's kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field for years when a trespasser accidentally stumbles across it. And the finder is thrilled, what a find! And he goes and sells everything he owns and buys the field. God's kingdom is like a merchant on the hunt for excellent pearls and finding one that is flawless. He immediately sells everything so he can buy it. Why did Jesus tell these stories? What is he trying to teach us here? How do these stories help us see the world the way that God sees the world? Both of the people in these two stories find something that is so valuable that they are not just willing, they are eager to sell everything, everything, to have it. Can you imagine something that incredible? Something that you would sacrifice everything, everything you own, to have it. See, I think Jesus is hoping to get a point across about the nature of sacrifice in the kingdom of God. Because we usually hear sacrifice and, you know, there's this little weight that kind of settles on our shoulders. Oh, that's uncomfortable. It's negative. It involves giving something up that we value, that we care about. So it's not something we like to do, right? And over again, Jesus reminds his would-be followers that there is a cost. Jesus is abundantly clear about this. Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and then come follow me. Anyone who loses his life for my sake will find it. There is a cost to following Jesus. There is always sacrifice. But here, in these stories, Jesus helping us to see the world the way that God sees the world is reminding us that that's not the whole picture. There's another side to that coin, right? Yes, following Jesus and living into the kingdom of God will cost you. It'll cost you something that you care about. But the truth is, if you're stopped by the what or the how much that you have to give up, you're looking at the wrong place. You're looking at the wrong thing. It's like reading the parables like this. The kingdom of God is like a man who sold everything he had. His house, his bed, his chair, his water jars, his donkey, his ox, his tools. He sold everything to buy a field. There was a merchant who sold his entire inventory of cloth and spices, oils, dyes, jewelry, all different kinds of jewelry and pearls, and perfumes, because he found one pearl to buy. In these versions, it barely mentions why these people sold everything. right? And we are left kind of sad, confused, thinking, what's wrong with that guy? Why did they do that? And if we look at following Jesus and living into the kingdom of God from this perspective, it really does seem like a bad move, doesn't it? That's a decision that at least comes at a questionably high cost. What are you thinking? In these stories, Jesus is trying to remind us that you don't need to just ask what I have to give up or how much I have to give up. Don't stop there. Because it is blocking you from seeing the whole picture. Too often, that's how we look at our faith. It's how we understand following Jesus. It's this ongoing negotiation that we have with God, right? What I'm going to let go of, what I'm willing to give up, and what I won't. God, you can have Sunday mornings, but the rest of the week, it's going to be mine. God, I'll acknowledge that you're God. Yeah, you're God. But I'm still going to be the one who decides how to live my life. God, I'll give you my time, but don't ask for my money. Or God, I'll give you my money, but don't touch my time. I'll do what I want with that. And all of these are completely missing the point. We're only looking at part of the picture, and sometimes we are only living part of the story. We're seeing only lines and boundaries, and we're assuming that those things are keeping us from really living. But what if we're missing something? What if we're missing the most important detail of the story? What if we're so focused on the cost that we miss what we're getting in return? So the question we need to ask of these stories is why? Why would these people sell everything, everything that they have? And if you look there, the story starts to make a little more sense. A man sold everything he had to buy a field because he'd discovered a hidden treasure in that field. A merchant sold his entire inventory because he found a pearl of immense value. And I want to unpack that a little bit for us. In the ancient world, a perfect pearl was worth a lot. Cleopatra was rumored to own a pearl that was worth $2 million. A little pearl. Could have been a big pearl. I don't know. But in both cases, the treasure or the pearl, they would have been worth enough to replace what these people gave up many times over. It wasn't even a hard decision. Yes, I'll sell everything to buy this field that has a treasure in it. Yes, I will sell everything to get this pearl that's worth so much. An easy decision. Both the people in this story find something that is so valuable, they are not just willing, right? They are eager to sell, get rid of everything they have. Because they know they just found the deal of a lifetime. And that is the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is saying. It's the deal of a lifetime. And it is absolutely worth giving God everything to be a part of it. It's not about what you have to give up. It's about what you're getting. There is a cost to following Jesus. There is a cost to living into the kingdom of God. But let's not stop there, because that's not the whole picture. These stories reveal something unexpected about giving up everything that you have. Because when we stumble upon the kingdom of God, when we catch a glimpse of God in the world, what God is doing in us and around us, we're not weighing the cost. And instead, we are overwhelmed with joy and eagerness to be a part of what God is doing in the world. The kingdom of God really is that incredible. So why aren't more people running after God with abandon? Why isn't that happening more? I think it's because we get distracted. We forget that there's a treasure sitting in that field. We forget. We take our eyes off of the pearl and we forgot it's there. So I want to do something this morning. I want us to take a moment to shift our focus. To look beyond the inconvenient, maybe the difficult sacrifices that might be asked of you and me today or sometime. And for a few moments, I want us to take a good, long look at that treasure. I want us to remember whose we are. So for the next few minutes, will you close your eyes? And as other thoughts and distractions come to your mind, would you just let them move along? And I want you to use your imagination. Think in color. Fill the images that come to mind with light and color and movement and life. The kingdom of God means the healing restoration of everything that is broken in our world and in you. So let's imagine a world where God reigns, where everything is as it was meant to be. Death cannot touch you. Death holds no power to threaten you or anyone around you. Sickness and disease of the body or the mind, they are no more. Their power to steal life is gone. Violence is no more. Vicious words, cold-hearted actions are replaced with compassion, kindness, and love. Injustice has nowhere to hide. It can't get away with holding down the weak or the powerless anymore. And despair of a bleak future is replaced with joy, anticipation of a future filled with the certainty of hope. Fear and unease no longer lurk in the dark corners of our hearts, dictating our actions and disrupting our thoughts. And instead, confident joy shines into and out of every part of our lives. Anger, bitterness that eat away at your peace of mind and color everything that you see in dark shadows begins to dissolve. And in their place, an unexplainable peace reigns. Anxiety that steals your joy, your ability to simply be, your ability to care for others, evaporates. Sickening politics, where lies are the norm and truth cannot find a foothold disappear. This truth begins to shine into every dark corner of our world. Loneliness, that crippling heartbreak of being without anyone who cares or understands you, is no more. And instead, there is belonging and no strings attached acceptance, love. Starvation, violence, poverty, sickness, all of these that have plagued our world, bringing nightmares into reality for men and women and children, are suddenly no more because God reigns. There are no more haves and have-nots. And people, no matter where we live or who we are, live every day with joy and meaningful purpose. The presence of God is no longer a fleeting and elusive wish. It is a sturdy and dependable reality. God's presence floods our world, and suddenly darkness and fear and hate are just no more. And at last, there is peace on earth. This is the kingdom of God. That is the world where God reigns. This is what God's mission is all about, to heal and restore us and the world, bringing hope, joy, peace, life, purpose, love, belonging, understanding, compassion, confidence, truth, and justice into our lives and into this world. You can open your eyes. I want you to think about what you saw as you imagine this treasure. What's that worth to you? What's that worth? Too often, we get stuck asking, what's the cost? And slowly, we lose sight of this kingdom of God. And once that focus shifts, kingdom of God doesn't really seem worth the effort. Certainly not worth our life's energy and attention. Too often we'd rather make peace with life as it is than sacrifice for anything or something that's better. Don't lose sight of the kingdom of God. Don't forget what that treasure in the field is. The truth is, whatever you do or don't do in life, there will be a cost. So what are you buying with the life that you are spending? And is it worth your one and only life? Following Jesus and living into this kingdom of God, this different reality, it's a reality where death and violence, fear and hatred, all of these things can't sink their teeth into our lives anymore. So what's that worth to you?